بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى لبيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين فض الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. A series of discussions have gone into his third night. As these nights are slowly moving, one finds, especially for those people who from the very first night attempt to connect their heart to this mission of Sayyid al-Shuhada, as these nights begin to move, you find that the ma'rifah and the light in your heart increases. You see, there's two types of days. One type of day are these days of Sayyid al-Shuhada, these 10 days of Muharram. There's another type as well, both of which run parallel, and those days are the days of Fatimiyah. Between these two days, one finds that the entire formula for wilaya lies. If we can truly understand the haqiqah of what these two days symbolize. You see, in hadith it says, your fifth imam says, that ayyamullah is 3 days. One day is when the dhuhur of the 12th comes. That is one day, Yawmullah. Second day, when Raja happens, the second coming. And third day is when the day of judgment is. All three of these days are connected to the message of Sayyid al-Shuhada. Why? Because the dhuhur of the 12th imam and the day that he comes is on the day of Ashura, and the message that he brings is a continuation of the message of Sayyid al-Shuhada. 1400 years may have gone, but there's a message that started on Sayyid al-Shuhada and which the Imam then comes and takes forward. For this reason, you find that on the day of Ashura he comes, according to one tradition. In fact, just before that, there's 5 signs which are going to happen according to our tradition. All of the rest of the signs don't need to happen. 5 need to happen. One of them is this. On Hajj, between Ruqan and Maqam, you find an individual who comes forward. Who is it? Nafs Zakiyah. An 18-year-old boy, or an 18-year-old youth, you could say, comes forward and he's killed between Ruqan and Maqam. Question is this. Why is he killed? People talk about the fact that he's killed. Many don't know why he's killed. The reason is this. Because he brings the letter of the 12th Imam before the Dhuhr, and he begins to read it. And when he reads this letter, he says to all of the world, he says, listen, who are we? We are those people who are Ahlul Bayt, who are the Rahmah of Allah. And we are Ma'din al-Rasala, we're the mine of Rasala. And we're actually the Khalifas of Allah on this world. And in fact, we're Mazloom, and people have taken our haq. So come and help us. And at that moment, the same cry that Sayyid al-Shuhada does, he does. Brings that forward and says, come and help us. And at that moment, people rush towards him and they kill him. When they kill him, he's so tahir in terms of his blood is so pure that Allah doesn't like it. When one pure person is oppressed, his blood is so valuable that Allah accelerates the dhuhur that within 2 weeks the 12th Imam comes. Why is that? One person. One individual whose blood is that pure. One person whose blood is that powerful. What does that tell you? that tells you essentially you don't require for everyone to come onto this pathway. You require just one person connected, who's so holy, who's so innocent, that when the blood of an innocent is shed, at that moment retribution from Allah comes, and the greatest retribution is the 12th Imam himself. So you can imagine that. So let's go back again and see. See, from these days, you have 3 days which is mansub to your Imam, to Sayyid al-Shuhada. The day when the 12th Imam comes, the day when the second coming, and the first person to come back, Sayyid al-Shuhada. And the third, Qiyamah. And on that day, Shafa'ah of Hussein, means more than anything else, above and beyond. Therefore, all of these 3 days, Ayyam Allah, each one of them is linked back to Sayyid al-Shuhada in his internal facet. Externally, it represents the 12th Imam, Sayyid al-Shuhada, and Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why? On Qiyamah, the one who divides heaven and hell is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Milak is Hussein, Ishq of Hussein. But the fact is this, the one who divides is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Within these three, this prism of wilaya lies. One is the beginning of wilaya, one is the end of wilaya, and one is that which links all of the messages of the prophets together in terms of wilaya. All three of these is very important. In these days, for example, in the 10 days that we're in, the most important thing for us is this. Clean your heart and open this heart up to the nur. What nur? Nur of Sayyid al-Shuhada, nur of wilaya. That's the biggest thing. You know why? Because from the very beginning, all you have is wilaya. Why? Allah's wali. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. What does Allah do? He's the wali who does what? He takes people from dhulamat and he takes them into nur. Allah's wali. What does that mean? Look, go back and see. You recite every single day Ayatul Kursi. In that, what do you say? La ikraha fid din. What does la ikraha fid din mean? Okay, you say there's no compulsion in religion. Actually, have you not seen so many people being converted by the sword? That's not actually the meaning of la ikraha fid din. La ikraha fid din is there's no compulsion in wilaya. Many people can become Muslims, but the completion of deen is through wilaya. Ta'wil of this is through wilaya. Wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen. There's no compulsion in this. For those people who come to the wilaya are those people who are saved. And therefore Allah says here, Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Connects on, everything in the Quran connects on. But then there's other people as well, opposite that. Who are they? The awliya of taghut. And what did they do? They take people from light into darkness. Who are these taghut? Taghut are those people who are against the message of Amir al-Mu'mineen. For those people who opposed Amir al-Mu'mineen or Ahlul Bayt, they are the taghut that the Quran talks about. What is Amir al-Mu'mineen? Look, let me explain it to you another way. Deen is only one. There's no two deens. From Adam to Khatam, deen is one. Quran doesn't talk about adiyan. Doesn't talk about it in the plural. It says deen is one. Inna deen and Allah al-Islam. For Allah, deen is Islam. Adam was a Muslim. Ibrahim was a Muslim. Nuh was a Muslim. Musa was a Muslim. Isa was a Muslim. But not in the way that we understand it. They weren't Muslims like me and you. They weren't Muslims like that. Their Islam was what? Monotheism of its purest form. You see, in the Quran, it's mentioned that there's 5 different shariats. One is that of Nuh, one is that of Ibrahim, one is that of Musa, Isa, and the Prophet. The change that you get is in the principles of law, is in the Sharia, is in the formation. But actually, deen itself is one. And what is that deen? That deen is the deen of monotheism. That deen is the deen of Tawheed. And that is something which is timeless. Batin of that deen is wilaya. In fact, it's the guardianship of Allah, that Allah is the wali, and his prophet is the wali. And that one who does, gives zakat and ruku, he's wali. Wilaya is Allah's. And so, at the very beginning, when Allah signs a mithaq with the anbiya, signs a contract with them, brings them all in alam arwah, takes all of their souls and says, accept this. And they all accept it. For every nabi who accepts this becomes wali and ma'soom of Allah. For every wali that accepts it, and for everyone who rejects it, is there in Karbala, on the other side. In the very same way, when Allah says, وَنَفَقْتَ فِيهِمْ مِنْ رُوحِي, when I blow a part of my soul into Adam, all of you prostrate. Those who prostrate, what are they prostrating to? That thing which is made of clay? No. What they're prostrating to is that part of Allah which is being blown into Adam that gives Adam consciousness. That thing which brings him to life. And what is that? Haqiqat al-Muhammadiyah. What is that haqiqa? In that haqiqat al-Muhammadiyah lies wilaya. What is essentially the angels bowing down to? They're bowing down to the wilaya of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what they're bowing down to. Those people who don't bow down to that wilaya, you can find them in Siffin, and Jamal, and Nahrawan, and Karbala. That's where you find them. Why? They go against that wilaya. All the way to this day, you find people like that. Who are they? Those who refuse. See, shaitan is not just a person. Yes, in the absolute sense, shaitan, Iblis before that, look at the way he forms, his formation. He starts off from Harith, then Azazil, then Iblis, then Shaitan. There's an evolution that takes place with Shaitan. And if we have enough time in the next coming nights, we'll look at Shaitan as a person, as biography, to see what Shaitan is. The fact is though, that any one of us can actually be Shaitan in body Shaitan. There's a number of conditions. First is when you lose hope in Allah, then you know that you're going to work. Iblis was just that. The meaning behind Iblis is a person who loses hope in Allah. That's why he became Iblis, from Azazil, the Aziz of Allah, the Beloved of Allah. It tells you also that don't take anything for granted. You can fall, and this wilaya can be taken away from you. What's the condition? Condition is always give thanks and humble yourself. Humility to that wilaya, and giving thanks. The more thanks you give, the more Allah gives, otherwise He takes it away. If a person doesn't give thanks. Look, at this stage, I don't want to mention the story, but now that it's coming to mind, I'll mention it to you. In the time of Bani Israel, Allah says to Musa, and they have a dialogue, Musa's Kaleem Allah. In fact, Musa asks Allah, he says, who's the most abid, zahid person on earth? As in, who's the one who worships you, O Lord? Who's the one who cuts off from material desires? Who's the one who's been able to control himself and he worships you? Allah replies, He says, look, go to this and this place and you'll see him. So Musa goes, and when he gets to that place, he opens the door, he comes inside this house, he sees that there was a paralyzed man lying on the floor, unable to move. And so he looks towards the skies and says, Allah, am I at the right place? Is this the person? Obviously, in your mind, is a person who's praying 500 miles an hour. Allah says, this is the person. He says, so what's so special about him? Allah says, watch, I'll show you. At that moment, Allah takes his eyesight away. And when he takes his eyesight away, this man raises his hands and he says, Allah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've given me. Musa walks forward. He says, let me test this person. He says to him, when Allah's taken everything away, you're paralyzed. You're lying down, you can't stand up. He's taken your eyesight away. What have you got to thank Allah about? Here he replies, he says, Musa, the fact that you've come looking for me, that in this entire town everyone's polytheist, and I'm the only monotheist, I'm the only Muslim in this town, that in itself is a ni'mah of Allah worth thanking. This is why the Quran says, Allah says, that there are people who thank, but only few people thank. But know something. If you want to preserve everything that you have, learn to thank Allah. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, he says, when something comes to you, a ni'mah comes to you, if you thank Him, Allah that is, Allah will give you more. Many of us, we stop. The first $100 or £100 comes to you and you stop. If you thank Him, more's going to come. And more's going to come. And more's going to come. Have you not seen those people who started off from here? Allah elevated them to there. Be it material, be it spiritual. Risk is written by Allah. Why do you doubt God? Remember what we said yesterday. When you submit to wilayah, you're submitting to your imam. What does your imam have? Imam has three qualities. That's why you submit to him. First, his ilm is complete. Second, he's ma'soom. But third, he loves you more than you love yourself. If a person loves you, why don't you submit? Surely he knows better than what you do what's good for you. The problem is this, we forget. Thank Allah. See, rizq in and of itself is not only monetary. Actually, rizq is this. Rizq can be knowledge. A person comes to the Prophet and says, why is it that ulama are poor? He says, you've not understood the philosophy. Ilm is also rizq. Health is also rizq. To have a good wife is also rizq. All of these things. And this is why you pray. In all of the du'as in Ramadan, when Laylatul Qadr comes, when Sha'ban comes, when you're doing du'a, what are you asking? Allah, give me rizq, give me rizq. It's not a bad thing to ask from Allah. What are you essentially asking? Basically, you're saying in every single affair of mine, make sure it's the best. And that's your haq to ask. Why? Because He's La Mahdood. He doesn't have a capacity. He has maximum and He can continue to give. There's no capacity there to limit. His capacity is infinite. Ask Him. This is our problem. We've never understood how to ask from Allah. This is why we don't get. So what do you find? You find that occasions like these come. Muharram comes to give us the ability to be able to ask. And how do you ask? The best way of asking is this. Tears come into your eyes. Why? These tears not only destroy the darkened nature of your heart. Remember what I said on the very first night. And that was this. When you repent, Allah removes in the hereafter the azab that was going to come to you. But your heart is still scarred. When you cry for Hussein, even the scars are removed. Why? Because it's because of these scars that there's a causal effect. For everything there's a causal effect in this world, for everything that you do. Look, when you drink poison, you're going to die, however good a person you are. In the same way, your spirit is poisoned as well. For every action that you do, for every time you open your mouth, and remember what we said, wilayah as such, the minute that you do something negative to your brother, straight away you're outside of the wilayah of the Ahlul Bayt. So look, on a daily basis, we don't know where we stand. This is why I remember myself, people like Ayatollah Langurudi, Sahib-e Karamat, Isma Azam he had, and I've seen it in front of me, Isma Azam Ayatollah Langurudi had. And this man would never speak about anyone the minute that they left, nor positive nor negative. Even when he got angry, there was love in his anger. He never did something that would break your heart. Because remember, to break a person's heart is to destroy yourself. It's such that you go far away from your journey towards Allah. My question to you is this, how many hearts have we broken? And how many hearts on a daily basis are we breaking? Look at our communities today and see how easy it is for people to gossip and to take the respect of other people, izzah, destroy the izzah of other people. Just on the basis of the fact that somebody said something to you. You have no categoric proof and you're sitting there backbiting about somebody, gossiping about somebody. Have you truly understood wilayah? You're not Shia. If a person is doing that, if a person is speaking about another person, in a negative and derogatory way, in any shape or form, you do not have the haq to be called a Shia. Why? A Shia is a person who is full of wilayah. And the first stage of wilayah is this, that you feel for other people what you feel for yourself. That is the stage of wilayah. Now ask yourself the question, how many people have actually achieved that? Today we're here to judge, knowing full well that Allah was to judge you, you'd be destroyed. This is why we say, Allah, don't judge us with your justice. If Allah was to be just, none of us would go into heaven. Allah, when you do decide to judge us with your mercy. You're merciful, Allah. This is why Imam Sajjad says, Ilahi, kayfa aduka wa ana ana. Right, Allah, how do I ask from you when I'm me? I'm a sinner. I've taken the huquq of other people. I've broken people's hearts. I've lied. I've cheated. I'm coming closer to my death. Allah, how can I ask you? وَكَيْفَ أَقْطَعُ الرَّجَاءِ مِنْكَ وَأَنْتَ أَنْتَ But Allah, if I'm me and sinful, then how can I lose hope in you? If I'm me, you're you, Allah. You gave me Allah when I never asked from you. How is it possible that I come to the majlis of Hussein today and ask and you don't give me? Allah, you showered me with mercy. I didn't ask for it. You gave me. I didn't ask for it. Today, Allah, my hands are open in front of you. And here I'm sitting in the majlis of Hussein. And the only thing I have between me and you is just one Ya Zahra. Today when you come here, look, let me tell you something. Don't ever think that Allah's not giving you an opportunity. If you're sitting today in the majlis of Hussein, wherever you are in the world, Allah has given you the biggest opportunity. In these last 4 months, in this period of COVID-19, how many people have come to me and said, I've got this problem, I can't sleep at night, I'm suffering from depression, my friend is suicidal, all of these problems. Today is that day. Allah has given you, after 4.5 months, so much rahmah. Who? Hussein. Hussein goes to Karbala. When he gets there, you know what Imam Hussein says on the ninth night? One of his companion comes to him in the maqtal. Sayyidul Shuhada says, leave me. Leave me my ghurba. Leave me my loneliness. Look, youngsters, wherever you're listening in the world, you won't understand this. If elders are there, they'll understand this. You know what gharib is? A gharib is a person who feels lonely. You could be sitting in a room, could be full of people, but you feel lonely. Sometimes you go to a city, you feel lonely. You know why you feel lonely? Because there's no ahl to you. You get to an age, God forbid, your mother's not there, your father's not there, your cousin's not there. What do you feel? Lonely. Yes, your children are there, but your children can't take that away that your mother can give you, and what your father can give you, and what your wife can give you, or your husband. Now do you understand why Amir al-Mu'mineen would cry? Have you ever seen a lion crying? No. This is why he never cried in front of anybody. He would go to Kufa. Outside of Kufa there was a desert, as you can see today. He would dig a hole in the ground, a well. He would cry in the well. Somebody asked Mola, why are you crying? Why? Ali's alone. Why are you alone? Zahra left me. Look, I didn't want to mention this, but let me mention this so you can understand. They say that when the last moments of Zahra's life came, she saw a dream. In that dream, she sees her father comes to her, kisses her on the hands. How many days has it been? 95 days, 75, let's say. What's not happened? Rasulullah hasn't kissed her for 90 plus days. Hugs her, kisses her, says, Zahra, I've come to take you back. You know, for a daughter who's all alone, when her father says, I've come to take you, it's the happiest moment for a daughter. Why? You've seen this, I've seen this. When a daughter gets married, when she falls into problems, the first person she comes to is not her husband. If her father is alive, she'll phone her father. Even if the father's old, she'll still phone to say, Father, I'm in problems. You know that. Some of you have daughters. Allah protect your daughters. Let not what happened to Zahra happen to anybody else's daughter. Zahra wakes up. She calls Amir al-Mu'mineen. Zahra's crying. Amir al-Mu'mineen asks, he says, Zahra, why are you crying? She says, I'm happy. I saw my father. My father came to take me. They say, Amir al-Mu'mineen begins to cry. He says, Zahra, are you leaving me? Zahra, are you leaving my side? After you, there won't be anyone for Ali to go to. This is what's known as gharib. Why is Amir al-Mu'mineen more gharib than Imam Hussein? Imam Hussein had Sayyidah Zainab. Imam Hussein had Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Who did Amir al-Mu'mineen have? He can't cry in front of Abbas. Cry in front of your son. Cry in front of Hasnain. Cry in front of your daughter. Rasulullah's not there. Zahra's not there. Your Imam would say, he would go into the desert and say, oh desert, you think you're lonely? Come and look at Ali's heart and see how lonely Ali is. That is a person who's gharib. Hussein went to Karbala. When Imam Ma'asum says, leave me in my ghurba, it means Hussein was gharib. Hussein took all of the loneliness. Hand on your heart right now. Let me ask you, for the sake of Abbas, does anyone feel lonely in the majlis of Hussein? Outside you may do. When you come to the majlis, it's as if Hussein has taken your loneliness away. Now do you understand why Hussein's chest is so full of pain? He takes the loneliness of his Shia. Sometimes I think to myself, why did Imam Hussein say to Imam Zain al-Abidin, tell my Shia, if only you were here to see me in my loneliness. Look, I can't say any more than that, honestly. Nor will I be able to say it, nor will you be able to take it. What is Imam Hussein? This is Hussein ibn Ali. So imagine, why are these nights important? These nights are nur. They reconnect you back. They connect you back to the wilaya. Look, Amir al-Mu'mineen in his khilafah, what did he do? He fought for the preservation of Islam. What makes the difference between Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen's movement and Sayyid al-Shuhada's? Let me tell you, Imam Hussein writes a letter to Muhammad ibn Hanafi. Muhammad Hanafi, what does he write in that letter? خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. Why is Hussein leaving? To do Islah. Rectify what? Rectify what? Essentially rectify this Ummah, this Deen of Islam. What is he moving to rectify? Salah? No. Yes, we say. أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ أَقَمْتَ الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتَيْتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرْتَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. All of that's there, yes. But where do we start off from? As-salamu alayka, ya waritha Adam sifwatullah. And all the way down, Nuh wa Ibrahim, wa Musa wa Isa, all the way down to the Prophet. Who is Hussein? Hussein is the warith of the Anbiya. Hussein's message is what? Not just salah, not just sawm, not just hajj, not just zakat, not just hums, not just Amr bil Ma'ruf. What is Hussein's message essentially? Hussein is preserving the wilaya. He's preserving your hearts. What did Amir al-Mu'mineen do? When Imam fights, why is he fighting? He's fighting for Zahiri Islam. Why? And that's important because he's the Khalifa. Before becoming the Khalifa, Imam doesn't fight. When he becomes the Khalifa, the Imam fights. Why? Because as the Khalifa, he has to uphold the peace. So what does that mean? It becomes an obligation for the Imam to fight for the peace. Same way, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, 6 months he was Khalif. What did he do? Gathers an army to fight Muawiyah. Did any of the other Imams fight? No. Imam Hassan and Amir al-Mu'mineen were obliged to fight because they were Khalifa. Imam Hussein wasn't a Khalifa. What makes Imam Hussein go there for? One reason was this, and the biggest reason is this, is the concept of the irs of the Anbiya. All of the Anbiya's haqiqa lies in what? Anbiya's haqiqa, all of it, 124,000 prophets lie in wilaya. No. Look at Hussein and see, what is Hussein? Hussein is the sum of all of the Anbiya. If each Nabi is a reflection of Allah, then Hussein is the jam, the entire madhar, the entire vuhur of the Asman Sifat of Allah. When Hussein is standing in Karbala, the entire manifestation of Allah on earth is standing there. Let me take it a step further. Ism-e Azam has 72 huruf. 72 of the companions of Sayyidul Shuhada represent each one of the realities of Allah in Karbala. I've said a very big statement, and you've not understood it. And I know that you haven't, and I don't mind if you haven't. And the reason is this, because we have seven more majalis to explain what that means. In a hadith it says, 73 huruf make Isma Adam. 72 are with Ahlul Bayt. One is with Allah, so that's divorced. 72 is what makes Isma Adam and Alam Ikon. From this, Asif had one harf, he was able to bring the throne of Bilqis. What does he say? Even before you can blink, I'll bring the throne of Bilqis. So what happens? This throne comes. You know how big it was? They say 50 people could go on one side because it was lengthy, 50 on the other. Within a blink of an eye, what does Allah say in the Quran? He says he had a small knowledge of the Kitab. Which Kitab? Not the Quran. Quran hadn't been revealed. Of the Torah. Small knowledge of the Torah can bring this. Imagine if a person has complete knowledge of the Quran, what they can bring. Right? Isa ibn Maryam, with two huruf, raises the dead. Musa had more. Ibrahim had more. 20 odd huruf in the hands of Adam. But when you look towards Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, 72 of those. There's a reason why Hussein picked 72 people. What does Imam say? He says, go. They don't want to go. When Sayyidah Zainab asked him, have you tested your companions? He says, I'm telling them to go, they're not going. It's only when they don't go that Imam Hussein shows their maqam in heaven. You know what that means? That means only after you're tested do you get ma'rifah. Only after you're tested. You don't get it before. You've got to go through the trial and the tribulation. You've got to be polished to be able to get it. Today when people say, look, you know, sometimes I only have 50% belief in Allah. That's amazing. Even if you only had 10%, it's enough to make you to do things correctly. One person came to me and says, Mawlana, I believe in Allah, but I don't believe in the day of resurrection. He says, I only believe 10% in my heart, that's it. I said, that's enough, my friend. It's enough to take you to heaven. You know why? Even if you have 10% chance, at least do what Allah's told you to do. You'll see when you do it, automatically yaqeen comes. Yaqeen is amali, as we've been saying. It's practical. You can't just sit here and think, why am I doubting? No. You can read every single book in the world. Sixth Imam says, hadith is Unwan al-Basri, go and read it. Ilm is nur. It's not just about reading books. You can't just read a book and understand it. What is Hussein? From the implementation goes into the heart. Have you ever noticed why we recite prayers 5 times a day? Why do we do dhikr all the time? What's the purpose of that? Repetition from the tongue goes into the heart, actualization. Moves into the heart. You've got to be moving. This is why they say a person who recites salawat, if they do it every single day, Rasulullah himself will come at the moment when you're passing away to help you. This salawat helps you at every stage of your life. In 40 different maqamat, I wish I had time to go into it. Look, our time is rapidly going, and I know it's difficult to listen when you're sitting at home. Let me say one more thing. When Sayyidul Shuhada goes to Karbala, he's going for the haqiqah, the batin of deen, which is wilaya. Right? He's going to preserve it. He's going to save it. Otherwise, everyone claims that they read the Quran, right? Every Muslim's Quran is the same, regardless of whatever propaganda we hear. Sunnis don't have 200 chapters of the Quran. They have the same as we do. All of those hadith that talk about tahrif, we all have them. But all of our ulama say, Quran is the same. If I look towards the library, what do I see? One Quran from Saudi, one Quran from Egypt, one Quran from Pakistan, one Quran from Iran, all of them are the same. And if I go to page 440, what do I find? The same surah in all of those Qurans. Go and see. Open up 440 and see what you find in there. You know what you'll find in there? Qalb of the Quran. Ta'wil is this. Tafsir al-Qummi says. Tafsir al-Qummi, time of the 11th Imam. Now remember, when a hadith comes from the time of the 11th Imam and it's still here preserved, it means it has power to it. In that tafsir, it says, Yasin is the qalb of the Quran. Yasin is the name of the Prophet, but the batin of that name, Ya and Sin, is Amir al-Mu'mineen. In the same way, when you open up the Quran and say what? Thalik al-Kitab, la rayba fi. That Kitab is Amir al-Mu'mineen, according to Tafsir al-Qummi. Kitab is Ali. Why? There's no doubt about it. Thalik al-Kitab, la rayba fi. Hudan lil-Muttaqeen. Why? Ali is Imam al-Muttaqeen. 73 sects in Islam or so, all claim to do what? All claim to read the Quran. Are they all Firqa Najiyah? No, only one is. Why is that? Because there's something added with the Quran that's required. What is it? Inni tarakum fikum athaqalain, kitabullahi wa ithrati ahla bayti. Now let me ask you a question. From the Shia, according to one hadith, they're 12 sects. Only one of them is Firqa Najiyah. Both claim Quran, Ahl al-Bayt. What is the true meaning behind it, therefore? If one can amplify the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen and all of the Aimma to the 12th Imam, then what happens? Only then does the Quran becomes Hudan wa Rahmatan wa Bushra in its absolute sense. Guidance only comes then. It's a synthesis. Why is that? Because Imam is Quran al-Natiq. Imam is the batin of the Quran, contains the secrets. Secrets need to be unraveled, needs to be decoded. Only through the Imam can that happen. But let's say you sitting here, is it possible for you to do? Yes. How do you do that? Ayatullah Hassan Zada Amali, may Allah give him a long life. Somebody asked him, how did you get to the maqam that you did? He said, tears. I cried my way to ma'rifah. That one day he says, when I went to Mashhad, I stood next to the dharih of the Imam. He says, I saw Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam stand up and come towards me. When he put me next to my chest began to expand with knowledge. I became Baharul Ulum. Ocean of knowledge began to spread. Ocean of knowledge. Why does that happen? Tears. It says every Fajr time. Every Fajr time I would cry. Why is Fajr important? Let's go back again. The certain awqat, when the 12th Imam himself is praying, when that connection to his prayer happens, dua becomes mustajab. But you know what? Outside of Muharram, you have to wait to Fajr. These nights are the nights when your Imam is crying continuously. Today, if you focus on the heart of your Imam, and tears come into your eyes, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, we give you our condolences. And you pray, Mola, I don't have anyone to intercede. Ya Wajihan indallah, ishfa'alana indallah. Your wajhi in front of Allah, essentially. To put it another way, your face is of value in front of Allah. You can show your face to Allah. I can't show my face. You're the son of Kareem, Ibn Kareem. No, let me put it another way. You're the son of Zahra. There's no mother on earth who's so giving? Sixth Imam gives a formula though. He says, just remember one thing. It gladdens our mother's heart. She becomes happy when somebody cries over Hussein. When she's happy, Allah's happy. When Allah's happy, dua becomes mustajab. Sixth Imam teaches us though, when you cry, baqa, shadid, raise your voice. Why? Because when it's raised, that's when it's accepted. Look, if ever, God forbid, a bala falls upon you, and you think to yourself, what am I going to do? And you go to doors, and those doors close. You go to one door, you say, please help me. Nobody's there to help. You go to another door, say, please help me. There's no one there to help. All the doors close on you, no one thing. Hussein's door is always open. So what does he do? Majlis. How beautiful is it that you're sitting at home and listening to the majlis of Imam Hussein? You're sitting, there's no excuse now. Majlis is on. Bring your problems to your mind. When you recite and when we together recite the Masaib of Hussein, forget that people are sitting next to you. And if you're sitting in your room listening, you have no excuse. When that Masaib comes, raise your voice in such a way that somebody from Alam al-Ghayb says Ameen. Right? Look, these are the nights of tears. If these nights go, and if your Hajj is not fulfilled, how wretched is that person? Where do you go then? Allah's given you this tawfiq. Shall I tell you where you go? Even after Ashura, go under the sky. Sallallahu alayki ya Aba Abdullah. Sit down, cry for him. Cry for him. But when you cry for him, also do good to somebody else. You see these 10 days? These 10 days are about strengthening your wilaya. How do you strengthen them? Do good deeds. Look, the day of Ashura is going to come. Look, I don't know what people are going to be doing on that day. All I can say is one thing. If you have the capacity to give people food, pack it and give it to them. Give something. Do something for the name of Imam Hussein. Smallest thing. Smaller. Give somebody water. Why? Have you not heard the hadith? Shall I tell you again? I recite this in Fatimiyya, many of you have heard it. Let me tell you again. On the day of Mahshar, when that mother comes onto Mahshar, your sixth Imam says she comes like a bird comes and picks one by one, each one of her followers. And on that day it's decreed, even if somebody's given you a glass of water for the sake of Zahra, for the sake of Hussein, take them as well and take him into Jannah. Our maqam is high. We don't understand this. Look, there's a lot for me to say. In fact, there was a lot I wanted to say today. I've not been able to say it. But I'm going to say just one final thing and I'm going to conclude. And our time is moving. The thing is this. Own this religion. The message of Karbala should teach you this is your faith. Remember one thing. When you own this religion, when you have ghayra over this religion, look, ghayra is of three parts. Let me explain this to you. In one of the battles, one of the enemies of Islam was brought to Rasulullah. Where all of them were punished, this one person, Rasulullah says, don't punish him, leave him, let him go. So people come to him and they ask, what is it about you that Rasulullah let you go? He says, I don't know myself, let me go and ask. He comes to Rasulullah, he said, what was it about me that you let me go? Rasulullah says, Jibreel came to me and said, if a person has five qualities, even if they're kafir, mushrik, whatever they may be, they're not going to be punished. What is that? What's one of them? He says, you have a ghayra, shadid. You have ghairah, right? You're chivalrous over your family. But there's three types. One is ghairah when it comes to the religion. In the time of Bani Israel, Allah sent two angels to destroy one qawm. When both of those angels came, they saw there was a Zahid, Abid, Arif type of person there. So they said to Allah, Allah, he's in this cave praying. Look at the way that he's worshipping you. How is it possible that I can bring torment, or we can bring torment on this nation? Allah says, bring torment on this nation, destroy him as well. He says, why? Angels ask, Allah, for our knowledge, why? Allah replies, says, because he didn't have any ghairah. There was haram going on. The deen was being destroyed. He didn't go into Islam. It's his responsibility to go out there and stop it. Now you understand why Hussein says, kharajtu li talab al-islah. When you see that halal and haram is being clashed together, when you see, for example, munkir and ma'aruf being clashed together, especially in Akhir al-Zaman, okay, if there's no risk to you, of course there's conditions to Amr al-Ma'aruf, but where's that ghairah gone? Rasulullah said, Hadith says, have ghairah when it comes to women. She doesn't need to be Muslim, Christian, Jew, atheist, whatever it is. But show chivalry, show respect. Treat a woman with respect, regardless of whether she's Muslim or Christian or whoever she is. When you have ghairah, that's the quality Allah likes. Allah wants men to be chivalrous when it comes to their women and any woman. But at the same time, there needs to be ghairah with your community. Protect your community. And if you see something wrong, do islah of that community. Do islah of your deen. Why? When you're able to do this, Hadith says, Allah is a ghayur, and Allah will protect all of those people with ghairah. Allah will protect you directly. Look, I've raised a number of points. Inshallah, in the coming night, we'll finish all the rest of them. At the moment, time is not on our side. Look, today's the third Eve. I'm going to mention Masaib of Sayyid al-Shuhada very slowly today. Look, on nights like these, my own heart starts hurting. We have a huge responsibility today. You know why? For 1 second, I want you to connect. Just close your eyes. Feel the loneliness of your current imam. See where your imam is. Perhaps he's in Kufa. Can you see what he's doing? He's putting his hands on the floor as if he's hiding the footprints of Zainab. If only you understood what I said. A person with ghairah understands that even when you go home, if you can imagine your imam hiding the footprints of the daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen, even at nighttime when you think about it, it'll make you cry. Tonight I want you to give condolences to Zahra alayhi salam. You know, they say that on the day when she passed away, she got up, she goes, she bathes and she closes her two small daughters. She goes, she prepares the food, she begins to clean the house. Fidda comes forward. She says, Zahra, it looks like you've recovered. Zahra replies, she says, no, I haven't. This is the last moments of my life. I'm fulfilling my responsibility. From today onwards, my children will become yatim. When my Hussein cries for me at nighttime, you know, Zahara's link with Sayyid al-Shuhada is, even when she was passing away, she says to Amir al-Mu'mineen, right? And as I said, I'm going to recite slowly. Why? Because my own heart can't take it. Where does Karbala begin? Begins here. Where? Saqifa. Karbala begins when Zahra's door was broken. That's where Karbala begins. Karbala begins when Amir al-Mu'mineen is holding the head of his wife in his hand and tears are dropping onto her face. She lifts her hand up and she begins to wipe his tears on her face. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Zahra, why are you wiping my tears on your face like this for? You know what she replies? She says, my father said to me that when a mazloom man, when an oppressed man cries, dua becomes mustajab. Ali, I don't know anyone more mazloom than you. At that moment then, Zahra begins to give her will. One by one she's mentioning things. I can't narrate all of it, nor can my heart take it. A point comes though when she says something. She says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, if ever my children, God forbid, do anything wrong, don't ever raise your voice at them because they may get scared. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Zahra, your children are masoom. Then she continues and she says, Abul Hassan, if ever Hussein gets up at night time and if he's thirsty, I wish I could narrate all of this conversation that takes place, but I'll just narrate one final thing, and that one final thing is this. At that point, Zahra says something. She says, Abul Hassan, if you ever get an opportunity, and if you're ever walking past my grave, come and say salam to me, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he can't take it, begins to cry. He says, Zahra, I'll come if only you reply to my salam. This is Zahra, this is Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is where Karbala begins. Today the 2nd of Muharram has gone by. What is today? Today is that day when this caravan of Ishq comes to Karbala. If only I can narrate it. They say that when Sayyid al-Shuhada comes towards Karbala, he gets off his horse, he comes onto the ground of Karbala. All of a sudden, Sayyidah Zainab comes running. She says, brother, let's get out of here. He says, why? He says, because your Sakina was sitting on the floor. Dirt started to go in her hair. When this dirt went into her hair, I went close to it. I could smell your blood coming from this dirt. Imam Hussein calls. He says, are there any people who live here? He says, yes, call them. He says, what's this place? Somebody says, Nainawa. Somebody says something else. Eventually a time comes when somebody says, Karbin Wabala. Imam Hussein says, this is the place that's going to be for me until the day of judgment. Imam Hussein comes forward. He says, call the king, the chief of this place. Why? I want to buy this land. He buys this for double and he gives it back again. But he says something strange when he gives it back. He says, O men, on the 11th of Muharram, when my body is lying here, what I want you to do is come and bury me. Know that when my body is lying here, come and bury me. And he gives that message. And he says, please also ask your women to come as well. And you go. When the women of Bani Asad come, you know what he says? He says, oh women, I'm the son of Zahra. If your men don't come, when you're walking past, just come and put dirt over our bodies so that at least my body is covered. And then the women go. Finally, he walks to these children who are sitting there. And as he comes, he says, you know who that small girl is, children? Those children reply. They say, that four-year-old girl is very beautiful. Says, that's my daughter. I'm Sakina's father. Says, children, if your mother and father don't bury us, if you're playing, just come and pick some dirt up and put it over my body. You know what the tradition says? Tradition says on the 11th of Muharram, right? Says that on the 11th, of the eve of the 11th, which we call Shamir Ghariba, one person says, he says, I saw a four-year-old girl, though her clothes were burning, she was running in the maktal trying to find leaves. Wherever she found them, she would pick him up. So I went to her and I said, why are you picking leaves for? She replied, she says, because my father's body is lined in the plains of Karbala like this, without I'm taking all of these leaves to go and cover his body, because his body is covered in arrows. His clothes have been ripped off. As the tradition says, they even took the shirt off the back of Imam Hussein. His body covered completely from head to toe in arrows. Nothing could be seen. This is that Karbala. This is that Imam Hussein. Look, final thing I'm going to say, and that's it. Look, you've cried. You've mourned for Imam Hussein. Final thing I'm going to say. Final thing is this. If I can narrate it. Ask for your du'as. Inshallah Allah accept all of our hajat. They say that when Imam Hussein put the tents up, initially he put it close to the Furat. The army of Yazid was close. Imam Zain al-Abidin comes forward and he said, Father, my ghayra can't take it that this army is so close to my aunt Zainab. Can we move away from her? Says he went, he moved away. As they move away, you know what one of the traditions says? Tradition says water is cut from Imam Hussein. 1 day goes by, 2 day goes by, 3 day goes by. On the third day, ninth of Muharram, night of Ashura, they say a person by the name of Hur is in the army of Yazid. And at that moment, all he can hear is small children saying Al-Atash. I'm not going to go deep tonight into the story of Hur. The one thing I will say is this. What frees Hur is the love of Zahra. Tonight, do one thing. With these tears in your eyes, take the wasila of Fatima alayhi salam. Take the wasila and do your dua. Today is that day. Today is that day where Imam Hussein comes with his caravan to Karbala. That place where for eternity Sayyidul Shuhada is to stay. On the day of judgment, they say that on the day of judgment, when all of the bodies are raised, one body won't be raised. Allah will point towards Karbala and say to the angels, bring Hussein's body to the Arsh, but be very careful because Hussein's body is completely broken. Those angels will know. What will they know? That on the day of Ashura, when the horses were trampling over the body of Sayyid al-Shuhada, if one rib of Zahara was broken, they say that all of the ribs of Hussein were broken in such a way that the right rib was coming out the left side and the left rib was coming out the right side. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. For the sake of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, may Allah accept our worship today. May Allah give us ma'rif of the Ahlul Bayt. Hasten to the hall of the Imam alayhi salam. And make us all part of his ansar. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin. Ma tabi'a sayyidina.